trusting me to allow me to come and to share with you in his absence. That speaks a lot to me. We pastors, we take this spot right here real serious. And we got to have a lot of confidence in somebody before we'll let them step up in it. And so I appreciate Brother BJ and having the confidence. But, you know, that all morning long, God's given me a message to preach, but all morning long, he just keeps bringing this one verse to my heart that I got to share before I preach. And I'll explain why. And it's out of Psalm 118, and it's verse 24, and it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, there's only thing I can come up with why God wants me to share that is devil's messing and jacking around with somebody that's in here this morning. And you're not happy. You're here because you know you're supposed to be, but you're not glad. You're here because this is where you need to be, but you've forgotten, because the devil has put something in your path, you've forgotten that you're meeting with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that'll bring joy to your life. So this morning, I want you to kick Satan to the curb. You know you can do that, don't you? All you got to do is say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, get behind me, Satan." And you know what the Bible tells us he's got to do? He got to go. He doesn't have a choice in the matter. Because we're not speaking in our own authority. We're speaking in the authority of Christ. So this morning, don't let the devil mess up what God's trying to do for you. So now everybody look at me and smile. Thank you. We pastors long to see smiles in the pulpit, even if we have to beg for them. So smile, not if for no other reason because you're having to look at me for the rest of the time you're here, but smile and know that you're meeting with God today, the one who's coming back to get you, and he's going to carry you to glory where there's no sorrow, there's no devil to mess around with you. There's no pain and no suffering, no heartache and heartbreak, no sickness, no shame, no guilt. None of that will be there. It'll just be perfect eternity forever and ever. Whew. Folks, I'm going to get excited in a minute. All I'm telling you is Satan is trying his best to stop somebody today. Don't you let him. This is the day the Lord has made, not the devil. This is the day the Lord has made. So let's rejoice and be glad in it and be happy. So smile at me one more time, okay? There we go. Thank you very much. Now turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to talk today about seizing the moment. A lot of people think that we're living in an awful moment. A lot of people think we're living in a crazy moment. A lot of people think we're living in an I don't know moment. But folks, I don't know about y'all, but I know right where I'm at, and I know exactly what I'm doing because I'm saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called me to this, and so I stand up in it. So this moment is not strange to me. This moment in history that we're living in is not strange to me, simply because God put us here to live in it. So if God put us here, he prepared us for it, didn't he? So no matter how bad we may think that it might be, or how good that we might think it'd be, we need to look for God in the midst of all of it and go with him. And there we'll find peace. In a crazy, messed up, here's you a side note too, by the way. Do you think the world has just now gotten crazy and messed up? The world got crazy and messed up all the way back when Adam and Eve messed up. And it's been crazy and messed up ever since. Don't you thank God for Jesus today? Don't you just praise the Lord for Jesus today? That he can bring sanity into an insane world. Just love the Lord this morning. All right, I know I'm going all over the place. Y'all just forgive me. I'm excited this morning, okay? Philippians chapter 3, let's start in verse 7. Let's see what Paul had to say, okay? But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's pause and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I love you, and I thank you, God, that you love me. And I thank you, Father, that you have brought us all here to this place this day. Lord God, it is not a chance happening that we have arrived here. We are here by divine appointment. God, folks are not here to fellowship. They're not here to hear the preacher. They're not here for the song service. God, we're here to meet with you today. Father, I ask you to meet with us in this place today. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move with power and authority and change lives forever because of what takes place today. God, if there's one lost, I would pray that that soul would be saved today, this time, this moment, because now, as you say, is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. God, I thank you that you saved me, and I thank you that you called me to preach. And I want to thank you for the privilege that it is to be allowed to preach just one more time. So God, I pray that above everything else, we hear from you. Not me or anyone else, we hear from you today. For it's in the precious name of Jesus, my Savior, that I pray. Amen. I like to read about history. And I read once about this young soldier. It's back during World War II. And most of the time when people traveled during that time, it was either by plane, but mostly by train during that time. And I read about this young soldier and his commanding officer who got on this train together. And the only available seats were across from this very pretty young girl who was traveling with her grandmama. They struck up a conversation there, and as they talked, the young soldier and this young girl kept looking at one another, and they kind of liked the looks of each other, okay? There was an attraction there. They kind of thought one another looked good. All of a sudden, this train went into a tunnel, and then they didn't have the lights in there, so the car went pitch black as they went into the tunnel. And immediately, two sounds were heard. You heard the smack of a kiss and the whack of a slap across the face. Now, the commanding officer thought, you know, I don't blame that boy for kissing a pretty girl, but it's a shame that she missed him and hit me instead. The young girl thought, you know, I'm glad that that cute boy kissed me, but I wish my grandmama hadn't slapped him for doing it. And as the train broke into the sunlight, this young soldier couldn't wipe the smile off of his face, because he had just seized the moment. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer, and he got away with both of them. Now that soldier knew how to seize a moment. And in the same way, we have to seize the opportunity. We have to take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way to fulfill our purpose in life. Now, before I ever preach anything else, I'm going to start off right now by sharing with you the most important thing I can share with you today. The opportunity is here today for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is the single most important thing that could take place in this building today. Why do you say that it's so urgent? Why is it so important that a person who is lost might come to know Christ today, right here and right now? It's simply because we don't know when Christ is going to return, and we don't know when death may come knocking at our door. At either moment, we're stepping into eternity. When we step into eternity, the only thing that matters is whether or not we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Because everyone in the world has an eternity. Location, location, location. That's what matters. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no woman, no boy, no girl comes to the Father but through me. I'm it. You can believe all this garbage going on in the world if you want to, but folks, I've read the book. I'm not a real smart guy, but I can understand that. There's one way to glory, and there's not a side entrance. There's not a window to slip through. There's no other way other than the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? God's Holy Spirit will draw you to Him. You've got a choice to make right here today. You can choose to accept Christ, or you can say, no, Lord, not today. I always tell people, Jesus is a gentleman. He won't force himself on anybody. He's not going to make you accept him. But why in the world would you choose an awful place called hell instead of a wonderful place called heaven? Talk about definition of insanity, huh? And Jesus just stands offering it free as he can be. So my question to you today is, do you want to be saved? If you do, don't wait. I don't have to preach anymore. I really don't. Right now, the most important thing in the world is whether or not everybody in this building knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You notice I didn't ask you if you had joined the church, right? I didn't ask you if you had been baptized. All of those things are great and wonderful things to do, but don't get the cart in front of the horse. You got to know Jesus first, then all the other stuff comes afterwards as a wonderful, good, and great thing to do. Are you saved? That's what's most important. I hope and pray that everybody in this building is saved. But odds are in a group this big, somebody's sitting out there saying, you know what, that's me. And you know what's happened to you right now, too? The devil's sitting right on the other side of you saying, he don't know what he's talking about. Why don't you wait just a little bit? It don't have to be today. It could be some other time. Wait. Hold back. Don't. And Jesus is saying, come on, that dude's a liar and the father of it. Shove him to the side and come on. Find your peace. Find your joy. Find your happiness. Be able to smile again. That's what Jesus offers. If you want it, you can find it here today. Now, God gives us all opportunities, right? But unfortunately, a lot of times we get caught up in the details of everyday living and just seems like that we don't have the time to seize the moment, to take the opportunity. We've got deadlines and commitments. We've got problems. We've got priorities. We've got distractions. We've got obstacles. And though we really want more fulfillment from every day, sometimes it just seems like it's not within our grasp, doesn't it? I don't think there's a single person in this building today that wants life to just be average. By nature, we want our lives to be full and prosperous, right? You know, I really believe this was Paul's philosophy. And here in Philippians 3, Paul puts it easily within our grasp. Here he describes his own philosophy of life in what I just shared with you. And if we could only learn to follow Paul's example, then we can learn to make the most of every opportunity and we could learn how to live life to the fullest. No matter how hectic that life might get sometimes. Paul shows us three simple ways in these verses to live a more fulfilling life. And we're going to look at those three simple ways, and then we're going to be done. I'm going to let you out of here to go eat lunch, okay? First way to have a more fulfilling life. This is going to be very simple, okay, because I'm simple-minded, all right? Find your purpose. Find your purpose. If I were to ask everybody in the room today, what is your purpose in life, I would probably get a lot of different answers. Some would say, I want to be a good wife or a good husband. Some would say that I want to be a good mama or a good daddy. Some would say, I want to be a good child or to my family. And some would say, I want to do my job better. And some would say, I want to be a good teacher or a nurse or a mechanic or a student. And so on and so on. I want to be good at what I'm doing right now in life. That would be an answer that you would probably get from most everybody in the room. But do you all know that those answers are all secondary purposes? The question is, what is our purpose in life? What is our reason for living? Everything in creation has a primary purpose or a reason for existing. And in order to be successful, everything in creation must fulfill that purpose. Now, Paul stated his reason for living here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Let me share them to you one more time. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know what Paul is saying there in simple terms? Yeah. He's saying, I want to know Jesus so that I can be like him. That's what he's saying. He said, I want to know Jesus. Paul's reason for living was to be like Jesus. And that should be the reason for living of every person who has been saved by the grace of God. But folks, if you're going to be like Jesus, you have to know Jesus. You have to know how that he lived, how that he walked, how that he talked. And I could describe him in one word. Love. Love. Everywhere that he went, Jesus loved on people. And he did something that we don't want to hear about and we don't even like to talk about, too. He forgave. leaves a bad taste in your mouth, that word, doesn't it? Don't taste good. You just don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't understand why I'm so angry right now. All that is a secondary purpose. Focus on the primary purpose. And the primary purpose is to be like Christ. And that means that I got to love you. It's got to matter to me what's going on with you. It ought to give me joy when you receive joy. I ought to reach out with a hand and love on you if you're in need, just like Jesus would do that. I ought to care. It ought to matter. And if you've done something to offend me through my prayer life, I need to reach a point. I'm not saying that we can do it instantly because we're human with a sinful nature. But through my prayer life, I should be able to work through that to a point that I can look you in the face and say, "You've harmed me, but I forgive you." And I can't do it within myself, but I can do it because Christ is within me. We got to learn how to do that, y'all. To be like Jesus. So what is your purpose in life now? Every one of us should say, to be like Jesus. What is our reason for living? To tell others about our Jesus. All the other things we do to facilitate that reason and that purpose. All right, let me move on. What's next? First, we have to find our purpose. And then secondly, we need to forget the past. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, there are two elements of the past that we need to forget if we're going to have a more fulfilling life. First, we need to forget the bad. Forget the bad. Paul, just like all of us, had a past that he needed to forget. He had tortured and murdered innocent people. He had caused a lot of pain and done a lot of damage to the cause of Christ. But now Paul is faced with a choice. He could either dwell on his mistakes and let those mistakes ruin his life and his ministry, or he could forget them and he could move on with his life. Just like Paul had to make a choice, we also have to make a choice. Maybe you've had a bad experience lately, or maybe you did something a long time ago that you regret. And maybe those memories just keep coming back and they haunt you and they keep you from living the full life that God wants you to live today. Well, guess what? You're not alone. All of us have. But we have to forget the past. Folks, here's an amazing revelation for you this morning. It's over. It's done. It's gone. It can't hurt you anymore. There's nothing you can do about it to change the thing. The only thing that you can do is to give it to God and move on. When we ask God to forgive us, the Bible tells me that He forgives. As a matter of fact, it makes a statement that He cast it as far as the east is to the west and remembers it no more. If find that, I think, in Psalm 103, I think it is. But when you cast something as far as the east is to the west, it never meets, right? It's gone. It can't circle back around. It's there no more. All of us have done things in our past. We've all got these crippling things that Satan likes to keep bringing up and shoving into our face and saying, hey, don't you remember way back when you did this and when you do that? Hey, folks, he hits me with that every time before I step in the pulpit. And the question he always asks me is, who in the world are you to stand and preach the gospel to those people with the past that you've got? And I tell him, I am a blood-bought, saved child of God, and he has made me able to stand and do this. It is not in me, it's not of me, it's him. God can help you forget the nasty stuff, y'all. He can take the guilt and shame away. He can make you bright and shiny and new. He can help you to look the old devil in the eye and say, you're a liar. God forgave me of all of that and rescued me from it. He's pulled me up out of it. And he's the one that's told me that I'm supposed to do this. And as long as he's telling me that, I'll serve him till the day I die. And if for no other reason, because he pulled me up out of that. Forget the bad stuff. God has. You know what? Sometimes we like to go back with our sin, don't we? Because we start feeling guilty about it again. I think about it this way. When I come back before God and I say, Lord, you know what I did back then. I'm so ashamed. Will you please forgive me? He said, what are you talking about? Remember that part of that verse that said, remembers it no more? I think when God forgets something, it's gone forever, don't y'all? God, can you forgive me for being that sorry rascal that I once was years ago? What are you talking about? Okay. But I don't know what you're talking about because that's gone. Now, why don't you forget it and move on? All right. Lordy mercy. I got to move on here. I'm wearing out the time already, folks. Forgive me. Next, we need to forget the good. So what are you talking about, forget the good? Well, have you ever known people that we say about them that they just never growed up? They found one time in their life that they focused in on and they just decided to live there. Whether it was back in high school in their glory days or college or when they first got married or some moment in their life where they just got hung up in it and they never went beyond it. Unfortunately, a lot of people will do that. They'll zero in on that thing. And surprisingly, this is the same temptation that Christians and the church can fall off into. So many times I've heard people say in churches, do you remember the good old days when so-and-so was still here? Oh, how so-and-so could pray. And oh, how so-and-so could sing. And do you remember when the pastor preached on this and that and so on? But you see, Paul knew that a good past was not enough to guarantee a meaningful future. Here in chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. I'm not going to read, I'm going to let y'all read it. But what Paul is saying in those verses is, I will not live in the past. My reason for living is to be like Jesus, and whatever happened yesterday, whether it's good or bad, is ancient history. So I'm going to live for Jesus today. One thing we can know for sure is this, folks. If you don't get anything else, take hold of this statement before we go, okay? God never consults your past to determine your future. Now, that'll make you have a running fit if you think about it long enough. Folks, if God consulted my past, I'd bust hell wide open. God will never consult my past to determine my future. My future is determined by His Son. and what he's done, not what I've done. All right, number three, face the present and we're going to get done, okay? I promise. Verse 13, one more time. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, it's easy to live in the past and it's easy to dream away the future. It's a real challenge to face the present, isn't it? Because it means that we can no longer allow ourselves the luxury of saying, one of these days I'm going to do something about my temper. Uh-oh. I stepped off in one there, didn't I? One of these days I'm going to do something about this old bad temper of mine. But until then, y'all just going to have to put up with me. No. Or one of these days, I'm going to do something about my commitment to God. Who told you you had one of these days? The Bible doesn't. The Bible tells you you've got today. One of these days, I'm going to do something about my health. One of these days, I'm going to do something about my responsibility to my family or to my church or to God. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days might not come. You've got today. In John chapter 11, we find the story of when Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And when Jesus arrived at the tomb, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Lazarus' sister Martha came to Jesus and spoke this phrase that's used by people who live in the past. She said, Jesus, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, Martha, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha started dreaming about the future, and she said, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She knew Jesus had power in the past, and she knew that Jesus would have power in the future. But Martha, like a lot of us at times, forgot about Jesus' power in present circumstances. We believe Jesus died for us to save us. We believe that Jesus is coming again to get us. Why do we have such a problem believing him at his word today? Look at what Jesus said over in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked the question, do you believe it? That's the question being asked to all of us today. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Martha's reply was, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. By this confession, she was saying, not just yesterday and not tomorrow, but today, I believe that you are the Christ. By this confession, it was at that moment that Martha began to face the present and put her faith into action. Facing the present means that we put our faith in Jesus and we trust him to be involved in every part of our lives. Facing the present means that we choose to live life as it comes to us day by day. Not in the past and not in the future, but right here and right now. God doesn't want us to waste our lives away. He wants us to seize the moment and live every day of our lives with a purpose. Live every day of your life as if it were your last, because it just might be. You need to seize this moment. You need to seize this opportunity. This is one moment in time, but it may be the most important moment in time for you. Right now, today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Folks, I believe with all of my heart we're living in the last days. I believe that we could hear the trumpet sound and the shout at any moment. The eastern sky could break open and, oh my goodness, our Lord will be there. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain who know Jesus are going to be caught up together, and we're forever going to be with the Lord. And I believe it's coming soon. If I could crawl on my hands and knees all up and down this church aisles and just beg you into being saved, I'd do it. But you know what? That don't work. It's your choice. Seize this moment. This is your moment. Church, this is your moment. God is saying, what is Satan crippling you down with? What's he holding you back with? What's he using to keep you from being who God wants you to be? Whatever it is, seize this moment and get it behind you in the name of Jesus today. Because the days that are coming are vitally important to your family and your friends who are lost without Christ. You need to be who Christ has called you to be today. So during the invitation, this is your moment. This is your time. Has nothing to do with me. If you need me, I'm here. If you want to be saved, I love nothing better than showing people how to be saved. I can't do it, but I know the one who can. If you want to be saved, today is your day. Seize this moment. If you want to get the devil out of your house and out of your hair and make him leave you alone, today is your day. Seize this moment. If you've had enough of him and him wearing you out and wearing you down so that you can't be who God's called you to be, seize this moment. Let this be God's day. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to have our invitation. God, I thank you for letting me preach. Lord, I've preached what you wanted me to preach, and I've said what you wanted me to say. And now, Father, this has nothing to do with me. It's not mine. It's all yours. God, whatever takes place here today, we're going to praise you forevermore for it. Lord, move among your people. This is your time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.